Rebecca.
And I'm Krabeshni.
And welcome to Building with Builders.
Our podcast where we believe that building is fun.
Super fun.
So much fun.
Build Her Collective was created to help women with building and renovating. And we believe that with the right tools, everyone can build. For us, it's all about encouraging women to take back control of the building process and really achieve their dreams.
We are women in the building industry, and as developers, builders, and project managers, it's our passion to share everything we know with other women doing the same. And that's why we've created this podcast for you.
So if you love all things building,
you're into design,
keen on the numbers,
about to renovate,
thinking and dreaming of that forever home and what it would look like,
or even developing for profit,
then you've found your family.
Subscribe to our podcast and follow our journey over at buildhercollective.com.au.
Hi everyone, welcome to this week's podcast. Today I'm talking with Katia from Hip vs Hype here in Melbourne. They are a project management development consultancy, I'm going to say that, I hope that's right, and they are doing some really fantastic things in the world of development, in the world of architecture, and in the world of sustainability. So Katia, welcome.
Thank you, thanks for having me.
Now, actually, when I first heard about you guys, it came from one of our developers. She contacted me and was like, oh, have you heard about this company called Hip vs Hype? You really need to get onto them. They're doing amazing things. And I was like, okay, I'll check them out. And you guys are doing some really cool projects.
Oh, it's always nice to be referred by someone in the industry. Yeah, we are doing some interesting projects. I guess as a business, we work across three areas. My specialization is in the projects team. So basically our projects side of the business, we work across residential and commercial property development. And our aim is to create projects that are more sustainable and provide better experiences for people. Some examples of our recent work include Nightingale 2 in Fairfield, Ruskin Elwood, which were four premium townhouses along the canal, the Davison Collaborative, which were three townhouses that we worked with our neighbours actually to deliver that project, and Ferrars in York, which is 22 carbon neutral apartments, which is currently under construction in South Melbourne. And then we have another two projects in the pipeline that's really exciting coming up. So that's the project side of the business. Other people may have had exposure to us through the sustainability side of our business, which is a consultancy where we work across multiple scales from single homes through to major urban precincts and entire municipalities. And we split that business across buildings, cities and regions and business. And then the third component of Hip vs Hype is our collective business, which is a workshare space for sustainably minded businesses. We have our Hip vs Hype headquarters within our collective studio, and we have two studios in operation at the moment in Brunswick and Carlton North, and then we'll have a third south side in our building in Ferrars and York, which is really exciting.
That's super cool.
It is. It's definitely a broad business with kind of tentacles everywhere, but I guess you need that to have a well-rounded approach. And I guess our aim really is to create more environmentally sustainable, more socially responsible and more commercially intuitive, you could say, projects. So having that breadth across the industry is, I guess, what makes us tick and how we operate.
So I'd love to know a little bit more about you. It's always interesting to speak to someone who's in the industry who's a female, and obviously we are a female-led business, but we're also about just empowering women in general about the building and the construction industry. And I think one of the things that as younger women and as teenagers, we're probably not as exposed to the engineering fields as much as we could be, because it's pretty exciting and there is a huge breadth of jobs and roles in the industry that don't always have to be on the tools. Do you want to maybe tell us a little bit about your journey personally, about how you started out, how you got interested into this sort of field and where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess I have a rather unique background. I guess I come from a family of builders, so it is in a way in my blood. You could probably say that there is some concrete quite literally in my blood. My grandfather migrated out to Australia in the early 1950s from Northern Italy. He started a concreting business, and that basically has evolved into a larger scale construction business. Crema Construction. So I guess I'm really lucky in a way. I've been exposed to the industry from a really young age. But my journey to where I am now with Hip versus Hype, I actually spent the first 10 years, I guess you could say, of my career as a professional athlete. I competed in two Winter Olympics in the sport of ski cross. So I was juggling life as an athlete and studies through my late teens and early 20s. Whilst I was competing, I studied a Bachelor of Environments at Melbourne University and then with a major in architecture. And during that three-year course, whilst I had full intentions of doing architecture, I guess having exposure to the industry as a whole made me really question what my interests were. So I ultimately decided to do a master's in property, which I'm really happy I did because I love property and I love real estate. And I guess my role enables me to combine my passion for design and architecture with the more people and business side of the industry as well. So when I completed my degree and when I ultimately retired from professional ski racing at 25, I joined the family business, Crema Constructions, in a really hands-on site role as a project coordinator, which was awesome. It was great to get experience. Whilst I had, you know, the property background, I think it was really important to get that on-site experience just to actually understand what goes on site and how design is ultimately implemented. So I spent about a year in that role and then ultimately transitioned over to the property development side of the business, where I juggled between an assistant development manager and I ran the sales and marketing for the development projects that Crema had on at the time. So was there for 3 years, had really great exposure in the industry on some quite significant projects, you could say. And then after 4 years with the family, I decided to venture out and gain some experience, I guess, on my own, away from the family. I joined PwC and their real estate advisory team, and I was there for 2 years working on some really major government projects, so local council, state level, as well as federal. So that was really good exposure into a whole different side of the property industry that was very different to the previous 4 years of experience that I had. And whilst I was at PwC, my partner Liam and I acquired a site in South Melbourne. I guess you could say I always had intentions of joining Liam in the business in Hip versus Hype, but I just wasn't sure when that timing would come. And I guess this kind of forced our hand, buying a 22 apartment development site. And I jumped over to Hip versus Hype. That's the project that's currently under construction at the moment for us in York.
Oh, fantastic. So that's your vision, really?
The vision of for us in York actually came out of a project that Hip versus Hype completed with Six Degrees in Fairfield, which was Nightingale 2. And the design of this project and the very high performing apartments that were delivered and the sustainability outcomes basically enabled us to see that long, narrow sites adjacent to railway lines or tram lines were actually very high quality development sites. And that's how for us New York came about, is that we identified a site that had very similar attributes to a project that had that we had just delivered, and set about trying to basically improve on what we had just done and creating basically an iteration of a project, which is really unique. So we're working with Six Degrees Architects again. We have a similar team, a similar scale building, and basically improving on something that we'd done before.
That's fantastic. So you and Liam are the landowners and therefore are technically the developers.
Yeah, we're the developer. Hip versus Hype is the developer. And this will be our fifth project, with another two kind of coming after this one.
And that's amazing. What a huge set of experience. But I love that you've, well, first, like, I didn't know you're a professional athlete, but I kind of love what I get from you is, like, you're just really open to doing new things and trying new things. And I think that's a huge, if anyone's listening today and they're thinking about making a change or trying something new, that's a huge thing to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's always in your career point in times where you need to make a decision and you're at, I guess, a fork in the road and you could go one way or the other and it's a very significant outcome. And for me, that was leaving the family business and carving my own path and really stepping out into an experience that was much bigger than what I had experienced in the previous 4 years. So for me, that 2 years at PwC, large organization, working with some really intelligent people and working with clients that, you know, were at the scale that I wouldn't have had exposure to otherwise, was a really great experience for me and kind of gave me the confidence to then take the skills that I'd learned and follow a path that perhaps I was more passionate about, which is smaller scale property development, developing really high quality apartments and townhouses that we genuinely live and breathe. We're actually moving into an apartment in our project for us in York, and we've just moved from a project that we delivered in Brunswick. So it's interesting because we sell our projects internally. I head up sales for the Hit versus Hype team, and it's actually really nice to be able to tell people that, you know, we're going to be moving into this project as well. Like, we 100% back it. We live and breathe it. We're putting the Hit versus Hype Southside studio in the ground floor. So yeah, I guess you could say we make our life our work and our work is our life, but we enjoy it that way.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, you're connected to that development in a really unique way. And I think that gives people who are thinking about maybe moving into one of them or buying one a lot of confidence because you're connected to that long term. But I love it also in terms of like a continuous improvement. Living in your own development, you'll only ever experience the impact of your design decisions by living in your own development.
You're 100% right. We lived in our project, one of the Davison Street townhouses in Brunswick, for 12 months. Would have loved to have lived there for longer, but circumstances around COVID and having a baby and moving closer to family just impacted our decision. If I could have picked that townhouse up and moved it 15 kilometres south, I would have. But you're 100% right. There's no better way to really understand your product and understand what works well and what can be improved upon. And that is one of our, I guess, key differentiators from many other developers in the market is we genuinely live and breathe our projects and we stand by them 100%. And we do iterate and we learn and we develop really deep understandings of what makes a great home through actually experiencing it. So hopefully for us in York will be an improvement again and we can start to see how we can really fine-tune design to a point where it's an absolute joy to live in one of these apartments.
Well, we hear it a lot from the women in our community, whether they're just doing their own home or they are developing. The ones who are doing their own home tend to feel the impact of those design decisions far greater than the ones who are developing because there is an opportunity to refine the skill and move on to the next one and grow from that. But it's also okay that sometimes you design something and it doesn't quite work out the way you imagined it would. That is actually, that's the world of development and that's the world of trying something new. And I mean, unless you're doing something modular, nothing is really so predetermined that you can work out all the kinks before you're in there because there's always going to be something that wasn't necessarily 100% planned.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. You know, every site's different, every location is different. So even marginal changes will create a different design solution. And that's probably one of the, you know, one of the things I love most about property is it is so unique and you really do have to think creatively about each site in isolation. And sure, you can bring in learnings, but that's where, like, I guess the real creativity comes to fruition is designing the best outcome for a particular site and using all of the knowledge that you have and all of the experience to funnel that and channel that into a particular project.
Now, I thought it could be interesting to just touch on what are some of the issues, I suppose, or problems that clients have. And I suppose in a way, I wonder if clients are approaching you to be partnered in developments or pitching you an idea for development. Are they experiencing any particular issues or problems around that?
Yeah, I guess if I put my projects hat on, so the development side of our business, our clients, you would say, are our customers, so our purchasers. And I think the reason why we've found success in our niche, which is these smaller scale, highly sustainable apartment and townhouse projects, is people are genuinely looking for something that is more comfortable to live in, is higher performing, and for some people, not all, but for some, and increasingly more so, have a lower impact on the environment. So yes, it's great that our projects have a lower impact on the environment, but I think the key thing is that they're genuinely more comfortable to live in. They've got more consistent temperatures. You don't have drafts coming in and out of windows or being blasted by the sun through single glazed windows. So it's actually, it puts the occupant first and creates an environment that is very comfortable, very consistent. And that's probably the problem that we're solving for a lot of people. And people will definitely have witnessed it over these past 12 to 18 months, the amount of time that people have spent in their homes compared to a normal year. We've gone through four seasons now, and it would be very interesting to survey a demographic of people to really understand how their house lives, because I'm sure that the amount of time that people have spent at home, they're really now understanding the benefits of good design or the disbenefits of poor design and poor quality construction. So it is, I guess, fortuitous timing in a way, because people now actually have that exposure and understanding of what it's like to live in a freezing house through winter or an absolutely boiling house through summer. And I guess that's the solution that we're trying to provide for people.
I mean, it's a funny thought, isn't it? Buying our home or renovating or building our own home is probably the most biggest investment we're going to make in our life. But yet we don't think about it as the space where we're going to spend all our time. It's taken a pandemic to shift that mindset and say, actually, now your home is like the space where you spend pretty much all your time. It needs to be multifaceted. It's your home, it's your workspace, it's your gym, it's your exercise space, it's your school, it's your office. You know, I find that quite an interesting thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think themes of design flexibility and space flexibility have really made their way into the drawing boards for new projects, which is great because you're right, homes are becoming very multifaceted. People are using homes for all types of things at the moment. And hopefully that is leading to better outcomes in terms of quality of design and construction, because there is more of an emphasis on the quality of the space and the way that it's used.
And it's probably a bit more of a commercial mindset, but like commercially, whenever you designed a building or you're developing a commercial facility, you're looking at how every square meter is efficient and how it can be used and how it can be flexibly changed or modified. But when we think about a house, I think we have a very narrow meaning of that word.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only the way, I guess, it's used in physical form, but also the way that it operates, you know, in terms of power usage. It's actually really interesting. We spent 12 months in our townhouse in Brunswick in the Davison Collaborative, and we have 12 months worth of data as to how that house actually performed. Now, that house, we had a Sonnen battery storage and 4 kilowatts of solar on each roof. Our average monthly energy bill for that house was somewhere between $30 and $50 a month. And we had no gas bill. So that's brilliant. And we've since moved into a terrace house in Middle Park, which we're renting just whilst our project is being completed. And I can't wait to get into the new project, because our monthly electricity bill is just through the roof, and we have a gas bill. I literally think that we turn the heater on to then have the heat just disappear out of the house and out into the atmosphere. It's that bad. And this is the norm for housing in Melbourne. So I guess the more that we can do to create these benchmark projects that help influence the industry and to help show people actually what's possible. We literally did not turn our heating on upstairs throughout all of winter in this townhouse in Brunswick. We had in-slab hydronic heating on the ground floor, and then no, we didn't turn any heating on upstairs, and it was a really comfortable like 22 degrees throughout all of winter. So yeah, it's actually very interesting experiencing those two very different style houses and how they actually live. Sorry, I digress from the original question.
No, I mean, I love all that kind of stuff. So I suppose I could call myself an ex-building scientist. So I did building science out of uni, but then I went straight into project management. So I love all this stuff. We've got lots of builders who are passionate about building sustainably. And when you're talking about your example, it brought to mind one of our builders who's built she went passive house, but she was posting in our group pictures of her temperature in the middle of winter. And she was like, we don't even have the heat on. You know, it was 18 degrees in there. It was just nice and pleasant. And yeah, I think that you're right. Until someone experiences really good thermal design and good thermal comfort, Well, we're so used to turning the heater on, turning the heater off, putting the jumper on, putting the jumper off, turning the heater on, getting too hot, turning it off, getting too cold. But I do want to end our podcast talking a little bit around three pieces of advice that, you know, you might have for anyone who's thinking about building or developing with a sustainable twist. And I think that if you're thinking about that and you want to learn more about it, there's so much information to go through and learn. Just start processing those ideas. But if it is your goal, think about it early on.
Yeah. So three pieces of advice, I guess. First of all, I would say think about sustainability right from the outset. You know, one of the key reasons why we have sustainability, our sustainability business, so intrinsically linked to our property development business is so that we can incorporate sustainability thinking into design from the beginning. And it's not something that's done often enough. I guess, you know, key sustainability fundamentals really need to be thought about early on, and they can't really be a tack on or an afterthought. You're just not going to get the most out of them. So that would be my number one piece of advice, is think about it early, bring in either a sustainability consultant or an appropriate engineer right from the beginning. Even when you're considering orientation, one of the key fundamentals that would help improve sustainability is the orientation of the building, making sure that you're using passive design techniques to help utilize a great resource, the sun, to warm the house rather than an electric panel heater. So that would be my number one. Number two would be to prioritize. There are so many things, I guess, you can do to make a project more sustainable. I would say have a think about what your goals are and how you're going to go about achieving those. For us at Hit Versus Height, all of our projects are a minimum 8-star NatHERS energy rating. They're all 100% electric and they're fossil fuel free in operation. And I guess that's our benchmark, our standard. And in order to achieve 8+ stars, I guess we have some really key focuses. One is some of these passive design principles, including orientation, and good design will help you elevate the outcome, the sustainability outcome of your project. And two, a huge focus of ours is on high quality windows and doors. It sounds really simple, but this is one of the places where a lot of houses lose an immense amount of heat loss or heat gain. So for us, double glaze at a minimum timber windows and doors that have thermal bridging is really critical for our design. So, you know, and the list goes on. There's so many things that you can do, but I think prioritizing and focusing on doing a few things really well will help you achieve a really good result. And then last piece of advice, the third piece of advice would be, and this depends a little bit on the context of the type of project that you're doing, but communication of sustainability principles is really important to us. There does seem to be a lot of greenwashing going on in the industry where developers will just slap on a sustainability tag to their marketing campaign and not necessarily be able to back it up. So being able to communicate what sustainability actually is, we feel that the market will start to gain a much better understanding, and then we'll be able to demand more from developers when it comes to sustainable homes. So just to give you an example, we had some modelling undertaken from our sustainability team on our Faraz New York project. We tried to demonstrate what the tangible difference between living in a minimum standard 6-star apartment is compared with an 8-star+ apartment within Faraz New York. And the calculations showed that an 8+ star apartment in Faraz New York uses 40% less annual greenhouse gas emissions through reduced electrical demand per year, 32% less heating load during peak winter conditions, and 25% less cooling load during peak summer conditions. And a couple of the guns within our sustainability team basically equated that to 1,600 kilograms of carbon per year, reduced carbon, which is basically equivalent to driving from Melbourne to Byron Bay and back 3 times in a year. You know, communicating the actual tangible benefits at a level that people can actually start to understand is something that we're really focused on. And we're trying to, I guess, elevate the entire industry by communicating some of these things. So yeah, they would be my advice.
I think they're fantastic. And I think you're 100% right. I can't agree with you more. As consumers and buyers of property, we have huge power to change what is on offer. Everything is kind of like a two-way response mechanism. So if we're as buyers asking for these things, developers will have to change the products that they're putting forward to meet that demand. So keep that in mind, because I think people often find that they don't have much power as a consumer or as a buyer, and they get really freaked out because the market's moving so quickly, or they're going to miss their opportunity to buy something and they're just going to have to compromise and get something right now. And do think about that for yourself and what buying something means for you now and long term, buying the right thing.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. No, I agree with that.
Thanks again, Katya. I've really enjoyed our chat today, and I'm looking forward to talking to you in more depth in our Developers Inner Circle.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Building with BuildHer. We'd love for you to spread the word.
For show notes, links and downloads and other awesome resources and freebies, head to buildhercollective.com.au. And don't forget, that's BuildHer with an H-E-R.
And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to both of us if you could take a minute or two to leave a review.
And don't forget to subscribe so you can listen next time as we talk all things building and women making their mark in the building industry.